Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
All right. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Good. Some of you are going, who are you? So my name is Steve, and there's so much that we could talk. I've been here teaching at Blue Oaks over the last few years every once in a while. If you've been here before, it's welcome back. If you're new, welcome. And there's a lot we can talk about right now. First of all, I could talk about how offended I was that they didn't want my 2010 Prius out there. I think it's a classic. I do also have a 2004. Maybe I should have driven that one instead. Pop the trunk open. It's pretty amazing. So if any of you are interested, I'll meet you after. It is an incredible piece of machinery. We could talk about baseball right now, but that might not be good. Maybe it's the Dodger sticker on my Prius they didn't want out there. What's going on here, you know? So last night was a little tough for you all if you're a Giants fan, but that's okay. I'm going to Panda Express because if you say Dodgers win a day after a Dodgers victory, you get a plate for $6. I know none of you, you'll all probably rather pay full price. I get it. So where I live is way more Padre fans than Dodger fans. So yeah, so we're all right in the middle of all this, but it's good to have you. So I'm from Southern California, by the way. If you didn't know, I live in Temecula, and it's great to be here with you today. We have a school at our church, and I teach 11th grade Bible, and we call it, it's a worldviews class. We look at different worldviews. And this year, we started we kind of asked this question that became kind of a foundation of looking at a lot of things in our class. And here's was the question that I asked these high school kids. How would you define freedom? How would you define freedom? Think about that in your own heart and mind. How would you define freedom? Now think of an 11th grader, and how do you think most of the 11th graders defined freedom? Maybe it's similar to yours, maybe it's different, but the common answer I got was true freedom is the ability to do whatever I want. True freedom is the ability to do whatever I want. And I think that's an important question. Is that true freedom? Maybe some of you are thinking, that's my answer as well. But I think it's important for us to consider that, especially as you guys have been talking about the book of James, and you're kind of considering this idea of the series title called Wise Up, right? Wise Up. Grow in wisdom. Wisdom can basically be defined as the ability to use knowledge, experience, and understanding to make good judgments and decisions, especially in matters of life and conduct. I've always defined wisdom as applied knowledge, right? It's like you have knowledge, and how do you apply it in the best ways in your life? And throughout the scriptures, it talks about wisdom. The Bible is full of how important it is to pursue wisdom. For instance, Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Whew, desiring wisdom is a great thing to desire. Or Proverbs 8:35, it goes on to say, for those who find me, wisdom, find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? So throughout the Proverbs, especially, probably like Proverbs 8, it talks about how powerful it is to pursue wisdom. Now, as we talk about the book of James, I've had to kind of have a journey on redefining freedom. Okay? What does freedom look like? What does wisdom look like? And part of it is freedom truly the ability to do whatever I want? Or what I want us to consider today is freedom, maybe actually more the ability to do what's right. The ability to have wisdom in the decisions we make. The ability to apply the knowledge that we have and to follow the teachings of Jesus. It's been a change from, you know, like seeing following Jesus as something I have to do or God's upset, to actually an invitation to wisdom, an invitation to life. So that's what we're going to kind of look at a little bit. And I want us to consider what this journey might look like, right? And so as we wrestle through what wisdom looks like, what freedom looks like, I want us to look at first how James talks about the law. What do you think about when you think of law? You know, what do you think about? How do you wrestle with what the law is? Is a law, when you think of a law, do you think of restrictions? Because I'm in Santa Cruz, right? My son's graduating tomorrow with his master's from UC Santa Cruz. So we're over in Aptos. My wife and I are staying there right now. So driving right now, how much I'm thinking, there's no one on the road. How fast can I go? What's it like up here? You know, can I only go 9 miles over the speed limit, or can I go 5, or should I go the speed? Oh, yeah, right? Well, is you see law as restrictive. How do you look at that? Is law about what you can't do? No speeding, no stealing, no killing. Don't break the commandments. Don't sin. Don't upset God. You need to appease God. What does that look like? And check out what James says about law. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it says this, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom," the perfect law that gives freedom, "and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Can you see wisdom in there? Can you see wisdom to look differently at the law? Man, true freedom is not the ability to be above the law and do whatever I want. True freedom in some ways is the ability to look at the law and see it as what gives freedom. For instance, the freedom that I can drive through a green light because of the people are going to stop at a red light. We just went, however you want to look at signals is up to you. This one makes me stop. I don't want to stop, but I'm sure glad they want to stop. So it just depends on how you look at it. So this journey has been a journey of looking at law as something that binds me to what James wants us to see as law, as something that frees us. It's a law that brings freedom, and that journey of freedom ultimately brings blessing. Okay, so what part do I want to talk about in James? Matt talked about this last week. We're going to kind of continue on it this week. And he talks about this subject of wising up, an area that we need to wise up in every chapter of the book of James, okay? So let's start in one. I'm just going to look at a verse in every chapter. Tell me if you can catch what he is looking at throughout James as an important thing to wise up about. James 1:26. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." James chapter 2, verse 12, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom." James chapter 3, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." James chapter 4, verse 11, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another." And James chapter 5, verse 9, "Don't grumble against one another." What do you think James thinks is an important thing to consider? Our words, right? Our words. We need to wise up in how we use our words. Last week, Matt talked about being slow to speak. If you weren't here last week, oh, you want to listen to last week's message. It was very powerful. To be slow to speak and to be quick to listen. Because true freedom does not come from the ability to say whatever I want, whenever I want. That is not true freedom. because the power that comes from our mouths is crazy. It's crazy. Proverbs 18 says this, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Pretty powerful, isn't it? It could bring life. It could be death. How many of you have experienced life or death firsthand through something spoken to you? How many of you have created life or death through things you have spoken? Okay. Have you ever seen your words make an impact? You know, have you ever seen it making an impact? Is not what you wanted? I mean, it is a powerful thing. Confucius says this, without knowing the force of words, it's impossible to know more. If you don't know the power of your words, you don't know nothing. Absolutely no wisdom if you don't realize how powerful your words are. There's a quote I've always loved by Pearl Hurd. He was a 1930s politician and poet, said this, handle them carefully, for words have more power than the atom bomb. Ooh, handle them carefully. And I really don't think that we have to. Do I have to convince you of the power of words? We just have, okay. I mean, you all live in America. How did that last election go? How do we use our words? Two of the most powerful people in the world trying to destroy the other person by words. Matter of fact, when I work with high school kids, I've apologized. If you're a teenager here, I do want to say I'm sorry because us adults aren't a very good example to you. If you look at the world around you, you've not seen great examples of how we use our words. What about social media? Man, how damaging we could be with our words, especially since we're not face-to-face anymore. Saying things, I don't know, any of you just rather read the comments than the actual thing? Just watch people freaking out? You just go, man, it's crazy. What about your own home and relationships? Is there anything more powerful than the words we speak? When I think of the most contentious moments between my wife and I, they are almost 100% words. Almost 100% words. How I respond, how she responds, how I say something. There's no greater reminder of the power of the tongue than a long description here in James chapter 3. I'm just going to read it. Just want you to listen to the power of the tongue here in James 3, verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what great forest fires are set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, yet it sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Any doubt? Do I have to convince you on the power of our words? And it talks about, any of you horse, any people love riding horses here? Yeah, that bit's crazy, right? I'm so scared of horses. They're just a big animal for me. And I remember the last time I rode a horse, it was at a party I went to, and you're supposed to have an egg in a spoon and go around these cones. And when I grabbed, I'm scared. Just get on there, Steve, you can do it. I get up there and I had one rein pulled a little bit more than the other one. And this horse just was going in circles and I was not having fun. I'm like, what do I do, right? It's just like this huge animal being controlled by this little thing. And I just went in circles and I got off and I've never been on a horse again. That was 15 years ago. I'm good, right? Or a rudder. Have you ever seen those big, huge ships out of the water and there's just that rudder and that little thing turns? Or what about a spark? You guys have had them up here too. We just had sunlight close to us and very close to my nephew, the Palisades fire. You remember those early videos that you see that came out? When someone goes, there's smoke up there. I think I see smoke. And that small spark devastates. What about the poison that comes from a viper? Man, the things he uses in this example is so just descriptive on how powerful our words are. How powerful our words are. Why? Why are words so powerful? I mean, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, right? Why are they so powerful? I want to look at something Jesus said real quick, because to me, this makes me think a lot about my words and where they're really coming from. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Where do our words come from? Where do they come from? Our heart. Whew. Let that sink in. Have you ever said, I didn't mean that? But inside you're thinking, I think I did mean that. But you saw what it did to the person you spoke it to? Any of you ever done that before? And you backpedal? Oh, I wish I could take that back, you're thinking in your head. But inside you're also realizing you feel very exposed. Why did I say that? What's in my heart? I was just kidding. How's that go? Ever had someone hurt you with their words? I was just kidding. You're all no problem. And inside you're all, really? Because they spoke something that you knew was kind of maybe true about you, something you struggle with, something that was there. Man, that passage by Jesus is so powerful for me. Because it's coming out of the heart. So we need to wise up to the fact that the tongue wields so much power because it's revealing the heart of the one using it. So there's times, man, I want to sit there and say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I was just kidding. And inside I had to start sitting there going, what's really going on in here? Because when Matt a few months ago said, hey, like, you want to come speak? His son's doing a final or something this month. He's got a really good soccer player son, right? You know? So I go, yeah, I'll do that week. And I didn't think. And I thought, what in James, like, impacts me the most? And I just want to tell you that one of the deepest impacts in James in my life is about my tongue. And then we're on Father's Day. I wasn't thinking about that when I was putting this together. Because one of the biggest lessons I ever learned in my life that runs deep in my soul still to this day was my relationship with my dad. And back in high school, I would say that my father and I had a rough go at it. I felt like for many years, I'd just be pushed and judged and prodded and ignored a little, and a little bullied. I just felt that way. My dad was a coach. Any of you guys that had a dad as a coach? Not always the easiest thing to live with. My mom and dad were divorced. I was living with my dad, and I had a tough go at it. And I made a conscious decision when I was about 20 years old. Number one, I'm not going to take it anymore. And number two, I'm going to start giving it back. It was a conscious decision. There was times I drove out. My dad lived out of Lake Havasu. There's times I would drive out to Lake Havasu City. My dad would say something. He had a button on him that was about this big, red button. Y'all know what the red button means. I would drive out. He would say something. I would push the button.
I'd watch them get upset, and inside I'd laugh, saying, "You don't affect me anymore." And I would drive home. And I started taking control of my life. I started living in my freedom that I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to say when I want to say it. And I'm going to feel good about it because of what I felt like he kind of did to me. And I had this guy at my church. So when I was about 21, I became a Christian. I started going to a church and I had this guy start meeting with me. And it was kind of a mentor. When she talked about some of you mentor dads, kind of a mentor to me. And I would meet with him and confide about my dad and I and about how irritating he was and what I'm doing now and kind of wrestling through all this with him. And he asked me a simple question 35 years ago that I'll never forget. I'll never forget this moment when he looked at me across the table and he said this, "How's that working out for you?" That's what he said. "How's that working out for you?" And it stopped me in my tracks. It got me thinking about what's going on in my heart. I had become a Christian and I'm struggling with heart stuff and who I am and who I want to be. Then one day, I was probably 22 or 23 years old, and I'm driving to my job site, and the pastor of the church I went to is on the radio, and he's talking about fathers and sons. And he reads a song while I'm driving. And I was going to read the song to you, but I thought I'd play the song for you. Because this was a defining moment in my life I will never forget. So, just read the words of this song, and then I'll share with you what it did in my life.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, "I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you." And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, you know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. It said, "I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him." And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, you know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had to say, "Son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and he said with a smile, "What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please?" And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad, you know we'll have a good time then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
I pulled the truck I was driving over to the side of the road and I just wept. Because I realized something. I was becoming like my dad. And I was setting my heart up to be the same kind of dad. To be the same kind of person. See, we need to wise up that what's going on in our hearts when we use our words to benefit ourselves or to hurt others. We need to wise up what's going on in our hearts when that happens. And I just sat there and I thought like, okay, what does this mean for me? And I drove to my job site, to my boss, and I said, I gotta go. And I got in my car and I drove to Arizona to my dad's place. And I decided that I want to make a difference. God had been changing my heart. How am I going to change my words? And a verse came to mind that I have, it's always on my mind still to this day, and it's in Ephesians, where it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So there was two basic things I had to learn to do if I was going to wise up and I was going to think about my words. If I wanted to impact, hopefully, my relationship with my dad, but also impact my heart. And if you hear this law that gives freedom and you do it and don't just forget about it, you'll be blessed in what you do. So number one, two things I needed to do. Number one, wise up to humbly stop saying things that hurt, humiliate, and divide. I needed to learn to shut my mouth. Be honest with you. I was a punk kid and a dangerous tongue. And I needed to stop. And this has taken deep root in my heart and mind, so deep that I even want to think about what I say in my head. I even want to think about how do I talk about others when no one's around. I need to stop. How do you talk about what in your own head? How do you talk about people at home? How do you talk about politicians or athletes or people you don't agree with? What do you say? There's a part of me that says, I need to learn to just stop. And as James says, no slandering, no grumbling, no complaining. I was so good at that. And I needed to learn to stop. I work on not watching or engaging with things so much. It's going to cause my heart to become negative or bitter and if you watch news all the time, stop. If you're on social media all the time, stop. And I had to sit there and not just think of my words, but I had to sit there and say, man, what do I feel about this? How do I just stop? And I did. Matter of fact, that day when I went to my dad's and I spent about 3 days with him, when I got home, a couple of days later, there was a letter in the mail. Y'all remember handwritten letters? There was a letter in the mail. And he told me, man, son, our time together was so awesome. Thanks for coming out. He just wrote me a thank you letter. Now, about 6 months later, I'm driving in the back of the car. I'm back out there again. I'm with my uncle and my cousin, and we're in the car with my dad. We're talking about funny stories, and I decide I'm going to bring up a funny story. Well, one of the four names of the story had to do with my dad, who was an All-American baseball player, a championship coach, and a very proud businessman.
And I remember the first time we got a boat. We went to Silverwood Lake down in Southern California on a Saturday, and my dad couldn't back it down into the water. And a dude opened up the van and said, "Get out of the van." And he got in and he backed it down for us. And I'm laughing so hard because I'm watching my dad just get humbled. He gave me like a couple bucks. "Go get something at the snack shop." So I told the story. "You remember this, Dad?" And my dad said this: "Hey, son, you've been really good lately. Don't start now." This is 6 months after listening to that song, and I'm in the back of the car, and I'm going, "What am I going to do? Red button. I've been working on this." My uncle goes, "Man, Richard, we're just laughing." And I want to tell you, at that moment, I kept my mouth shut, and it was so hard. But this mattered to me. But there's something else this verse says in Ephesians 4. "Don't let any unwholesome talk out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So I didn't just need to stop saying hurtful things to my dad at that time. I had to learn how to say beneficial things. That was harder. Just being quiet is one thing. But what happens when someone that has a dangerous tongue just says, "I'm going to be quiet," and you get pushed into a corner by someone? What has a natural tendency of coming back out? The viper, right? If you don't learn to reuse your tongue, if you just stop it, that's a good step. I had to do that, but I had to start learning to do something else, to wise up, to humbly begin to say things that heal, encourage, and unify. And that was harder. But not only did that make a difference in my heart, guess who also started speaking words of encouragement and uplifting and unifying words? My dad did. I would still say to this moment that my dad was one difficult dude to live with. But when I changed, everything changed. And about 7 years after this moment, my dad got a brain tumor and he lived for 1 month. And I'll never regret that I listened to that song and I paid attention to James and Paul's writing in Ephesians, and it radically transformed my relationship. He became one of my best friends that I just could not see enough. And even when he was in the hospital with cancer, and I still remember one moment when he's telling me stuff, and, "Man, son, I'm proud of you." Remember what he was saying? All I remember is I turned and walked out of the room, because this isn't how we operated. Does that make sense? But he was changing. God was working in his life to see difference of what he wanted to do differently. I remember walking out of the room and my stepmom, who I still love dearly to this day, said, "Get back in there. Your dad has some things he needs to tell you." And I looked at her and said, "This ain't how we do this. I don't need it. We're good." And when it came to my dad and I, it was all about words. And that changed me. And I fought as a dad. I have a 27-year-old that lives in San Francisco, and my 25-year-old's getting his master's in Santa Cruz. And I hope I'm an encouraging dad. I hope that I speak life into their world. And it hasn't been easy. I see my dad in me so much. No matter how you young people, no matter how much you don't want to be like your parents. Right? Any of you guys know what I mean? Yeah, you know, this is what it is, man. But if we can focus on that, you see, true freedom is the ability to use our words to bring life instead of death into a world that so desperately needs it. Use your words powerfully. Pay attention to how they affect people. Ever underestimate that butterfly effect of your words. It's not just about how they affect you, right?
When I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be negative in the world around me. I don't want to. There's enough of that. Right? If anyone, I mean, I really think if any of us should be, if we're followers of Jesus, we should be the most uplifting, encouraging humans in the world in some, I mean, right? I think so. But hasn't, it's not kind of what I've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. Actually, the opposite in some ways. But your words are such a powerful tool. And don't ever think it's too late. Don't think it's too late in your homes. Don't think it's too late in your relationships. Don't think it's too late in your world. Think about that. What? Think about the heart. Think about the, how God wants to transform that heart. And stop saying those things that are negative and derogatory and you know, and ununifying and hurts people. And then begin to learn, how do I begin to be an encourager? Now it's the weirdest thing. I'm known as one of the most encouraging people in the world around me. And I know it's because I focus on that. How do I say things that benefit people? And it's a conscious effort. Right after that James 3 portion, he says this: who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. That's the very next verse after the James 3 of the bit in the horse and the rudder and how venomous our words are, and that we can tame all these animals, but we can't tame the tongue. And we praise God with our voice, and then we curse humans that are made in the image of God. And right after that is this verse. And so may you see one of the greatest deeds in your life is how you use your tongue and what you bring to the world around you with it. May you not see it as this law that you better not use your tongue or else, but as a law that gives freedom. May you see freedom, not the ability to say what you want, when you want, whenever you want, but may you see true freedom as the ability to use your tongue to encourage and to uplift and to bring life to the world around you. And it will bring life to your heart as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this journey that I'm sure we're all on with how we use our tongues. I love last week when we looked at that verse, it'd be slow to speak and quick to hear. But what about when we do speak? God, help us to realize that the most powerful weapon we have in the arsenal of our life is the words that we say. And maybe for some of us, we need to just stop. We need to stop with the negative. We need to stop with the just putting people down, or the way we speak to our family or to our friends. Maybe we need to just turn things off. It's the way we speak to the TD. We need to stop. Because all that is building into our hearts and minds a certain way to see things. And man, Lord Jesus, I think you want us to set our mind on that which is good and pleasing and perfect and praiseworthy, so that our tongues would praise you and praise those that are created in your image. That our tongues would stop that which is negative and hurtful. And we begin to speak into people's lives, and never underestimate the power that we have to speak into someone's life beauty and life and love and hope and goodness. May we see the beautiful powers your image bears we have to make a difference with the very words that we speak. And may we see freedom, not as the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want, but may we truly see freedom as the ability to do what's right, especially with the words that we speak. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen.
Directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.